and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com.
Hey, church. Like Dad said, my name is Emily.
I'm Aaron.
And we are the Wardlaws, and we are just really excited to be able to talk to you guys today about worship. It's something that really comes from our heart. It's so genuine, and it's been something that's really honestly walked through with us in our lives. And so before we get started, I'm just going to pray really fast, and then we'll just jump in and kind of, it's going to be kind of back and forth a little bit, and we hope that you have fun with us as we talk about our story. So.
And we're sitting in chairs, just so you know, but... because we're talking, we're sharing
yes.
stories this morning. She is a preacher, I'm not so much. But yeah, that's kind of, we're relaxing with you guys this morning.
We know that you guys know that we were sitting in chairs. All right, let's pray. God, we love you so much. And Lord, I just pray that you would raise the level of faith to step into worship in a different way, maybe, or in a deeper way than we've ever done before. God, would you speak to our hearts? And Lord, would you just also just speak through Aaron and I as we just tell a little bit of our stories as it comes to worship. God, we adore you. We love you. There is no one else who deserves the throne, God. It's you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like Dad said, we have been going through this series in the summer. Dad takes a little bit of a study break, and we have different people come and speak from our church body, and they share a little bit of their story. And the whole point this summer is talking about being a signpost people. So what are the stories in your life that help point other people to the Lord? That's kind of the whole prompt of this whole summer. And so it's really easy for us because worship is such a part of our heart. And I'll let Aaron kind of jump into that in just a second. But we do want to share the main thing with you guys this morning. And that is this. The main thing is that worshiping the Lord comes from an overflow of the heart. What's inside comes out. And it's covered by the grace and love and mercy of Jesus, who's already done everything for us. God meets his people when we bring an offering of worship to him, whether we are crying out from despair or whether we are celebrating in victory. So that's kind of where we're going to be, and we'll kind of jump around a little bit. But Aaron, why don't you introduce yourself and just kind of talk to us for a bit?
Yeah. Well, again, I'm Aaron. It's a joy to just to be here. I've been here, but I really haven't ever been here. And so I'm excited just to be able to share my heart with you guys. And, you know, Emily and I, we have a very similar upbringing, although very different in ways. But we were in the church. We were church kids, and we really connected to worship at an early age. And it's been something that has kind of guided us through the years, kind of impacted us. And I just want you guys to know that y'all are all worshipers. We are all in this together. And this isn't a, hey, we're the worshipers, and we're going to teach you guys how to do it better. We're learning, we're growing, but we're going to expand on just kind of what worship is. I just wanted to give anybody out there grace who's feeling like, oh, I'm not a singer or I'm not a musician. Let's look at worship like this, because it's what it is. It's an offering. And so I want to, as we tell our stories and as we share some things that, you know, the Lord has taken us through our lives in worship, I just want to put that out. Let's look at it as an offering to a king. And if you think about, like, what can I offer a king? What can I offer anybody? It can look like anything. It can look like time, you know. And so I just wanted to make that clear. Because when we talk about worship, a lot of times we might be talking about a genre of music. We might be talking about a gathering of people coming to sing. And I just want us to look at it. It's an offering to a king. What can I offer? Like, I may not have these kind of artistic skills or this, but what can I offer to a king? I just want to encourage you guys. Y'all, I can't believe I get to do what I get to do with a church full of worshipers. You know, Jamie's said this several times, but He started this church so that we could worship like they see in the Bible. And, you know, God put that on your heart, the 80s? And that's what started here. And I got to walk into this place 10 years ago and couldn't believe the worship that I saw. And as soon as I started to lead worship, I was like, this is the easiest job in the world. And it's not because I'm good. It's like a strum of a guitar and just raw. And so I love this church. I'm glad that there was a baby dedication, because I'm having to recover from getting to worship out there with you guys. I need to do that more. But just wanted to kind of put that out there, you know, as what is worship as a definition, sort of.
Well, and gosh, it's really hard to narrow down a passage of scripture when you're thinking about worship, because there is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of passages of scripture that talk about worship, that give us commands to worship. I mean, it is all infiltrated throughout the Bible, right? But the hard thing, I think we were trying to figure out a way to narrow it down, and we ended up sticking with something from John, because that's kind of where we've been in the last couple of months, and it's John 4:23, which says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." And that's actually painted on the wall of our green room where our musicians get ready before they come onto the stage. It was also, oddly enough, my senior verse that I chose to put in my yearbook, like with my senior photo. Like, it has been as we were thinking about, like, this has really been a piece of our lives for a long time, like desperately wishing that when it all comes down to it, that it's me and the Lord, and I'm giving everything that I've got. Yeah. And I'm connected with the Holy Spirit. And there's a piece of it, if you've been around Antioch long enough, you know that talks a lot about the now and the not yet, how Jesus came, he brought his kingdom onto the earth, and yet we're still kind of looking out, waiting for him to come back and bring it all into fullness. So that also happens in worship. A time is coming and has now come. So it's a both and. It's those times when we're together and we're worshiping corporately where it's like something is different and it is not just a feeling. Okay? There's pieces there, right? And we'll touch on some of that in a second. I'm getting ahead of myself. So get ready, because this is going to be awesome. So we're going to start, and we're going to kind of do kind of like a panel, just telling a little bit of our story. So I'll ask Aaron a question, he'll answer it, and then I'll kind of come on the back end and just give a little bit of my piece too. All right? So, Aaron,
yes.
When and where was worship introduced in your life?
Yeah, so I am fortunate. I feel very lucky to my age. Like, I don't love my age right now, but I love the year. I love being born in the early 80s. And I'll just let y'all guess. Yeah. But it really marked me for worship, just what was going on in my family, who's here this morning, and Mom and Dad, I honor you guys. And I just want to say, like, everything I'm saying is about, it comes from a family that was all in to church life. And I just honor you guys for being all in. And, you know, I got to help lead a conference this last year called All In. Maybe some of you guys were there. But it was so special to me, just thinking like that was my life, and that was her life growing up, and just saying yes, being all in, serving in a church. So what that looked like for me, I was a music kid from early on. I didn't pick this stuff up later in life. I think around 4 or 5 years old, Mom, you can help me remember when I learned the do 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 do, and Mom was going bum ba 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 bum ba ba ba, and I remember what that did to me—not just learning a little piano line, but collaborating with somebody and making music—and I was in awe of it. And so I started with piano, just ran with music at an early age. I remember, I think it was my first grade talent show. I believe it was first grade. I was four?
Fourth grade.
Ah, first grade sounded so much better. I really thought it was first grade. There was a talent show, and I believe there was a leapfrog act before me, and I played Unchained Melody on a grand piano, and it didn't look like the other students at that talent show, and that was kind of, I was kind of achieving music pretty early on. Fast forward a little bit, a couple of years, I was, again, thankful for my age, my generation. I was right in the prime of seeing what I believe is the most epic trilogy of all times. It's called Back to the Future. And if you've never seen it, it will make you want to play electric guitar. Shout out Volunteer Bash 2018. About 10% of you know what I'm talking about. We'll share the YouTube. Okay, but anyway, I learned electric guitar, started running with it. But what I loved about my church then is with the time, the late 80s, the early 90s, the whole church was going through transition, at least I think, where my first 6 years of life, 6 or 7 years of life was hymnals. And then we were in a church that started experimenting with bringing in instruments. And I just remember like seeing the revolution. Like I was, you know, the closing the hymn books, not forever. We still love hymns. We still sing hymns. But bringing out the piano. And then one day they brought out the drum set. And what I remember from that is just the body of Christ experimenting and growing together in worship. And I just, you know, I want the young people to know, like, when what you see now, it hasn't always been like this. And there hasn't, I mean, there's technology and there's skill and talent and stuff involved, but there wasn't the freedom to worship like we do now. And we even have, you know, people in our church, you know, Kathy Strawn, I'm so thankful for her being on my team, that lived through the era of women being persecuted to lead in church. And there was a carving out for what we get to do now. But anyway, I got to live through that. I got to experience that. And then as a young musician, I got to join in. And I think it was about the time that like electric guitar riffs were coming in to worship. For me, it was Pour Out My Heart and shout out Barry Patterson, also in Jamie's band at the time. But these songs with guitar riffs were coming in to worship right about the time that I was playing and I was old enough to be a part of it. So another shout out, I don't think they're here, but my childhood pastors go to this church now, the Reynolds, and their kids, the Reynolds, was my youth pastor, Jim. And I just, as I honor my parents, I honor that church in just being empowering of music, young musicians coming into worship, being empowering of trying new things in worship. You know, we still kind of do that, but it's not like it was. It's not like, hey, we're gonna bring out a horn section this morning. You know, it was the 80s and 90s. But I was just, I'm so lucky. I'm so fortunate to get to have lived through that, be a part of that time as just worship was evolving and really, really growing. I think that's it for now.
Yeah, and for on the flip side, so Aaron and I are 8 years apart, and we really only see a difference in our age when we talk about movies and music, which our worlds revolve around. So, but I grew up in the 90s, and so Mom and Dad started this church, for anybody who's new, started this church really with a deep desire to be able to worship the Lord the way they saw it being done in Scripture. And so my memories of growing up in church, I fell in love with Jesus from an early age, and it was all in from there. It really is just, as we've been talking, it's just very sweet to think about. I know that not everyone has that past. And when I think about worship as a young kid in the 90s, what I think of is like Matt Redman. I think of like Holy and Anointed One, Worthy of My Praise, like those kinds of songs. And then I think of like the Vineyard Movement and Hillsong. Like if you were a young teen or a millennial in the room, like, and you were a part of church, Hillsong United was a pretty big deal for most of us, I would say. At least got you into like a different type of vibe and worship. Going back into early 90s, tambourines were a thing, and it was not the best thing, I'll be really honest. So as I'm married to a worship pastor now, I truly can't think of many more nightmare situations than having someone that you're not controlling doing a beat on their own out in the audience. And on top of that, there was like 15, like way too many people with an instrument.
That's so, before they were playing with a click track, though.
Yes,
so they made the tempo. The band had to follow the tambourine tempo.
I remember like flags and like conga lines, like kind of dun dun dun,
yep.
dun dun dun
dun dun
around the area. But it wasn't. I mean, like, it sounds like super weird, but it wasn't like that. It was honestly just people like experimenting in their love for Jesus and like having fun in worship. Like, it wasn't boring. It wasn't somber. Like, there was joy and excitement and love for the Lord. So that's what I think of when I think of it. I don't think of it as like, man, all those people were so weird. No, it was like they loved being at church and they loved worshiping together with the body of Christ. So honestly, really fun, like a blast. And then one kind of cool thing in a flip was that I actually went to ACU for college, and ACU has a Church of Christ background, and so their chapels, up until very recently, were all a cappella. And so I went from a pretty, demonstrative worship every single Sunday to then going to college and having, honestly, my mind blown with like, wow, there's no instruments in the room and it's all voices. And it was actually really beautiful. And so I got to see a little bit of just the diversity in the church and got to have a really deep respect and love for what it sounds like when you have 4,500 young people singing in harmony together. Like the Spirit of the Lord falls in those places. And so just... We kind of have a little mix, and like it really is just so beautiful. So that's kind of our background. And going back to our main thing, you know, there's worship. There's something about music, and I'll say this: there's something about music. It ties to your heart more than anything else, and it's why people love songs. All songs of all different types of genres. It speaks to you. It's a lot of times where you can hear a song and it reminds you of something, like in your past. And so worship music, it's like it's saying sometimes what our hearts can't say. Or what we haven't put words to yet. And so, Aaron, would you mind kind of jumping in and telling us about how worship has affected you when you've gone through some hard or low places in your life?
Yeah, yeah. Again, just coming from that lifestyle, that upbringing in worship, what I didn't mention earlier is just radical experiences, encounters as a teenager. We went Prayer Storm in Colorado, led by Lou Engle, and we fasted for 5 days as like middle schoolers. I just love that church. I could keep going, but anyway, that was my upbringing, is just radical encounters with the Lord, feeling His presence, feeling the Spirit, feeling and seeing God move. And so out of that, as into my adult years, my 20s were rough. My 20s, I had some dark years. I'm not going to share any stories. Mom, she has a joke. She says, don't share unless, or what is it? I don't want to know unless it killed you. And so she doesn't want to know me and my brother's stories, and so I won't go there. But it was rough there for a few years, and it looked like a young 20-something-year-old wandering, searching, dabbling, battling with little addictions here and there, and lost. And but you know, I was a child of God. I'd grown up in it. I knew the Lord, but you know, I was the lost son, so to speak, in that moment. But in those years, but I remember worship kept me grounded. Like worship was something that I could go to. I knew it was real. I'd experienced it. I'd tasted and seen. And so it was really a refuge during that time. And it looked like just sometimes getting out of my apartment and reaching, looking in my car for the burned CDs that Dad made me. And Dad, I did listen to them. I remember getting, we burned CDs back then. And I remember finding these ones that Dad had made me. It was like old Hillsong. Ironically, one of them was World Mandate. Dad knew about Antioch and World Mandate years before I did, and here I am working at an Antioch. But you know, I would just find a song, I would turn it on, I would bawl my eyes out, and the second the lyrics started, whether I sang them or listened to them or not, and by the way, I don't recommend this being your only time with Jesus. It's not fun, but the Lord met me, and it was kind of like coming out of my squandering, just be like, hey, I'm here. And he still met me there. And then I would go back and squander but peek out every once in a while and turn on a song and cry, and the Lord met me. And it really, that was kind of, you know, life there for a little while. And the turning point came sometime in my mid-20s, because I was about to be embarking on like a full-time kind of career thing in music. And so at the time I was playing in a band in Dallas, and we were good. I'll say that. Like, I was probably the worst one in the band. I actually was. The band was really good, and it was all of those feelings of a young 20-year-old thinking he's about to get famous. Like, for real, we were making negotiations with a couple of labels where we would have signed, we would have quit our jobs and gone full-time touring, recording, making music together. And so I was beside myself and ecstatic and so excited for that and could not wait. It was a dream come true. Like, I'd been a musician since, you know, I was five. And to me, it was like my love of music, my love of playing instruments, my love of singing was all now about to come together, and I was going to be a career musician. Thank goodness the Lord stopped that. Thank you, Lord. And the guys are great, and they're all Jesus-loving Christians. But it's not about the band or the guys. It was about the turn I was about to take in life that I wouldn't have been able to handle. I know that. I know that for sure. And so, you know, the moment it happened, we were literally playing the House of Blues venue in Dallas, and we were headlining, and we were so excited, and it was packed. And I think we'd already put out two albums by then. And I remember being on the stage, packed house, people smiling, dancing, singing our songs back to us, the rest of the band's having a great time, and I just freeze. And I just, it's like, I didn't know it at the time, but I think the Lord was showing me and a picture of what was gonna happen if I stayed on that path. And really, I just sat up there and I sunk. It was almost back to the Future again, my favorite movie. It was almost like when he's playing and his hand starts disappearing and he's just starting to disappear. Go home and watch it if you don't know what I'm talking about. It's the first one. But I felt just a sinking. And what it was is I had tasted and I had seen the goodness of the Lord. Like we're talking about in John, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And what we didn't have when we were playing for shows in Dallas and stuff, we weren't playing in spirit. We were singing songs about the singer's ex-girlfriend or something like that. And so me giving my life to music, I'm like, oh my gosh, it has to be with the spirit and it has to be worship to Jesus or I don't want to do it. Like, I was up there. I loved our band. I loved our sound. And all of a sudden I didn't. And it's because I had seen beauty. I had tasted. I had sat in a living room with four people and a guitar that really needed to be tuned a lot better and felt the spirit of the Lord. I had encountered it in Lake Highlands in our church and I knew like, okay, this isn't it. Now I can't really explain to you what happened over the course of that month. A lot, but the Lord spoke clearly, like clearly to his son that wasn't really reaching out for an answer. I was ready to go into the music industry and wondering why I don't like this anymore. But the Lord started speaking. He started, you know, things that I thought would be so hard to do were easy. There was confirmation on this, confirmation on that. Long story short, he pulled me to Kansas City to a place called IHOP. They make excellent pancakes. Just kidding. It's the International House of Prayer. And if you guys don't know anything about IHOP, today they have had a prayer room that has had live worship and live worship and prayer going nonstop with full teams. So team does a two-hour set, then they switch, and it's been going for 25 years straight, day and night. It's never stopped. And so when I was out there, it had been going for about 15 years. And what the Lord did during that time for me was not say, hey, you're going to be a worship leader. But he said, you're a worshiper. Mm-hmm. And it was a season of stripping the identity off of me that I had put on myself and even tried to take out to IHOP. I tried to be that guy and like, hey, you know about my past? Like, pretty awesome. I could be on that team, you know. And it wasn't like that. It was more of a wilderness type of experience because the Lord in his graciousness was like, no, I'm gonna tell you who you are right now. And it was a real identity shaping time in life. I spent 3 years out there and then I came here. But what that was about was me learning like I'm a worshiper. And what does that look like? Because again, I wasn't like, okay, I'm not going to do secular music career, so now I'm going to do worship music career. Like, I never thought, fast forward many years, that I started leading worship and thought, I can maybe be a worship leader when I was about 30. So it was a few years after IHOP. And so anyway, wrapping the story up, that was kind of my experience of you know, turning to the Lord in those low places, but also that's my testimony too of how he pulled me out of that place, gave me identity, and pushed me out on the road as a worshiper. And so that's why I want you guys to be encouraged too. Again, this isn't about leading worship. It's not about being in bands. It's about being worshipers. And what does that look like in our whole life? Stop
awesome.
There.
I'm also really thankful that you didn't do that because you wouldn't have met me.
Yep.
So our story gets pretty different here, but I would say for me, worship in low places has been pretty consistent in my life. It hasn't been like one singular moment. Personality-wise, I am loud and fun, and I like to bring the laughter and the joy, which makes it really hard when hard things happen for me personally. And I am such a dreamer. I struggle to keep myself in the present because I'm always thinking about what life could be like in the future, which can be helpful in some situations, so I don't want to talk down about myself too much. But when things do not work out the way that I thought that they would, it can be devastating. And I've had some situations in my life where things did not work out the way that I thought that they would. And immense disappointment can turn into something really dark and ugly really fast. And so for me, it's been the Lord meeting me in worship and prayer, honestly, specifically worship, because I feel really connected to the heart of God that way, where I am asking God, I do not understand, and I'm actually kind of mad right now. And it actually ended up turning me to the Psalms. So David, obviously, is probably the most well-known singer-songwriter of Scripture, and he wrote a ton of the Psalms. And we see in the Psalms that David, he swings back and forth between how he's feeling, and he writes about it. And so there are times where he does, like Psalm 96 is one of my very favorite Psalms, and it's, I mean, shout with joy all the earth, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with singing and dancing, know that he is God, look what he has done. I mean, it's like it's a rah-rah song. And I personally love worship songs like that. If I could do all bridges and choruses of worship songs with a slow build with the drums, then we would do that every Sunday. And it's a good thing that Aaron doesn't listen to me. So that's where I like to be. But David also says things like, God, I am being accused. I'm at my wit's end. I can't get out. Yeah. I am stuck. I am lost. My enemies surround me from all sides, and I cannot do this without you. That's also worship. Because at the end of all of those Psalms, David says, but I still believe that you are good. You are still faithful in my weakness. Yeah. And so I've really struggled is the wrong word, but honestly just like walked in a wrestle of like, God, I got to tell you what's happening, but I'm going to choose to believe that you're good, and I'm going to say the words out loud, even if I don't really know if I believe them or not, because words have power. They do. And so that's kind of where I feel like it's been an ebb and a flow, honestly, in different places in life, specifically like being incredibly vulnerable. Aaron has diabetes, and that is a really hard thing. And if you haven't walked with someone who has diabetes, I mean, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Like, I wouldn't. There's been some times where I've gone like, God, do you not see what is happening right now with the person that I love more than anyone else in the entire world? Like, do you not see it? Because I see it, and it's breaking me. And God has met me there. Like, he really has. And we're still believing for healing. Like, still, to this day. And then there was some hard stuff with our twins when I was pregnant, and that was, I mean, devastating. And just, it didn't look the way I thought it was supposed to look. Like, everyone else just loves being pregnant. I'm like, why does everyone else get to have a better pregnancy? But it's not about that. It's not about comparison. And God did miracles. I mean, like, miracles like you would not believe. And even in the last couple of months, I would say that life has been hard. And just walking through, like, disappointment and discouragement and this whole idea of, like, I wish it was something different, and then also knowing at the same time that God's plan is so immensely better than anything we could possibly imagine. And if you've been walking with Jesus long enough, you know what I'm talking about. There's something about at the same time being in it that can be really hard. You know, like, you know it's good, you know it's going to be good, but when you're in it, it can be really hard. And so all that to say, worship both the victory songs where you're like, God is so awesome and he has done these great and mighty things, and also I am in the depths and I need Jesus to meet me. They coincide. They go together. There's a song by Amanda Cook. She's out of Bethel, and it's called Edens. It's one of my favorite songs right now, and the chorus says, you are here, closer than the heart in my chest and truer than the thoughts in my head. And to me, you know, a lot of times people can judge worship music specifically and say it's all about what you're feeling, and I just don't believe that's true. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and we're saying who he is, and we're saying that he's king, that he's got it in control. I mean, like, that stuff is so solidifying as a believer. So that's where the Lord has met me in some of my low places. So, okay, let's turn it. Aaron, what's the importance of worshiping in victory first, but also, like, worshiping corporately, like, together as a church body and also by yourself?
Yeah. Well, again, at the house of prayer, I'll also call it the house of prayer in case people are coming in and out of online. I learned how to worship. Like, again, it wasn't training to be a worship leader. There was stuff that there, but that wasn't for me. I was learning all kinds of ways to worship. We did intercession sets where they were praying, and then the singers would start singing what they're praying, and it was all spontaneous intercession that was beautiful. We learned how to sing scripture. We would just turn on music and open the Psalms and sing scripture. All these different things I was learning and growing in. And I think, you know, what I really learned, and I said it earlier, is you know, the spirit part. The spirit part is what worship is. It's a communion, you know, and we do look at it as an offering to a king. But that king is also a father, and I don't think worldly kings turn back to their worshipers to meet him the way that ours does, the one true king, right? And wow. He's actually a loving, loving father, and he turns back to us. He sends his spirit, you know? And so, I mean, we're kind of now talking about the why worship? Well, I mean, in a sentence, Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, was resurrected, descended to the Father, and sent his spirit to dwell with us. That's why. That's why we worship, if you were wondering. But there's so much more to that, right? And so we're talking about personal worship and corporate worship. And we need them both. They're both so important to us, and they both look different. And I think just on the personal side, again, it's being with him. He's turning back to us. Like, what, you know, what if you have kids or not, just if your kid is reaching up to you like this, what do you want to do, you know? And so that's what I love about the Father as we worship. And so personally, I just, you know, I encourage you guys, find your space, find your songs, find your, hi guys, by the way, good to see you all this morning. Find what it is that gets you there. For me, it's not really usually the songs you're hearing up here. I have the tendency to go into work mode when I hear worship songs. And so I have to be really like proactive about that. There was a season in life that I was like, I'm not worshiping on my own. And I was running rehearsals and I was leading worship at church and events and all that stuff. But I had to find like, what's my new rhythm? And for me, it's older songs. It's obscure songs, ones that I'm not like, can we do this? Could I lead this? Could she lead this? And that's what gets me there. And I have to just be active about that and like soaking. Who loves to soak? Right. Here's how you do it. Turn on a song that you love and lay there. That's it. That's soaking. I do that a lot. And that's a good thing that helps me in my personal time. Corporately, I mean, come on, we just did it. We just experienced it this morning. The power in the room when we come together to worship. There's nothing like it. We can experience the power of God on our own, but it's a little different when we all come together and do it. And that's why we like to sing. That's why we like to listen to music and sing. It's because it's an easy way for us to come together corporately, worship, and see God move and see God heal and see God present working just because we came together to worship, right?
Yeah. I think too, corporate worship is an overflow of what's happening in your private life. So if you struggle to find time with Jesus, which by the way, everybody, but I think it's almost like you come into a corporate worship and then it's like, I need to be filled up all today for the next week. And then I think you can get kind of into a rough spot where maybe I didn't actually like the songs that were sung at church on Sunday. And the person next to me's voice is off key. And someone is raising their hands and it's blocking me from being able to see. I don't know. Like, it can, distractions come in and all these things that actually separate ourselves from really getting to connect with Jesus in worship. And so to me, private worship is so important. Oh my gosh, it's so important. Yep. And I was literally talking to some of the moms in our life group. We all have really young kids right now. And private worship looks way different with young toddlers and or babies than it does probably for other people in different stages of life, i.e., you might not get a quiet time. Like truly, you might not get a quiet time. Quiet time might look like kids crawling across the floor and you're playing a worship song and also filling up someone's sippy cup with water and someone's asking for something and you're like, Jesus, just be here. And that might be it. Like, it really might be it. And he's here. He's here. To the people in the room who have busy lives, who are traveling all the time, or work is just so much, he is there. He is there with you. And so private worship, it's walking with Jesus. It's asking him to be present. It's asking him to show you tangible ways that he is with you, to answer when you speak, because he speaks to us. And then you get in a corporate worship setting, and it's like, this is what we were made to do. This is the heaven on earth piece. To me, worship is... worship and miracles and healing is where I see Jesus stepping into our world like I don't see it anywhere else. And so...
The thin place,
yeah. Well, that's now, not yet. What was I doing? Or this one. I should know. I'm his daughter. I've been sitting there for all of the weird hand signs and gestures and all the things. But I love you and I think it's best. So anyways, to me, corporate worship is an overflow from what's happening inside, you know? And there's just, it's just so beautiful to do it together. Like, there's just nothing like it. And I will say, if you are someone who maybe struggles with the idea of demonstrative worship, like to me, corporate worship is where we get to kind of practice some of that, or you practice it also by yourself, you know? So raising your hands or clapping or shouting, like those things we are told to do those things in scripture. Okay, so what a place to practice and try it out in a corporate worship setting where maybe not everyone hears you, you know? It's a great way. It's a great way to practice and try and experiment with Jesus. It's awesome.
Yeah. And just on that, real small, like there's more, if you struggle with the expression in any way, just know that it's not about us. Like, it really isn't. He's a worthy king, but something does happen to us. I have experimented when I was struggling with personal worship, and I danced to get there, and I did that. I danced by myself in a room, and I've done it before, And it's weird, but my heart has changed. And if you don't believe me, try it.
Yeah, there's a physical connection to our spirit. There really is when we act out on those things, yeah. For sure. Okay, so last question, just as we start kind of landing this plane, is, okay, so worship. We're called to do it by the Lord. There's a piece of it that really connects us to Jesus. We're supposed to do it corporately. We're supposed to do it on our own. So why is it so hard to do sometimes? Like, what is the deal? Like, why is there a block sometimes? Or why, when we tell everyone to stand up for worship, sometimes there's a piece of your heart's like, I don't want to do that. Or there's something ugly that you think when, you know, the worship music starts. Or just what's the deal?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thanks.
Anyone?
We didn't plan this or anything.
Yeah. Well, I think the hindrance that's in there is us. It's, you know, we're what's making it hard to connect with God. But I think it's because it is a connection with God, and sometimes it's hard to meet with God, right? Like, let's be honest. And the reason is because we're sinners, and we're full of junk, and we're full of sin, and you know, the Lord wants to deal with that, and he doesn't want us to go down the roads and fall apart and end up in a ditch and end up in, you know, getting exposed from some sin that you haven't dealt with in your life. And so, you know, it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. And that happens in the presence of God. And so oftentimes when we're in worship, the Lord is going to be wanting to deal with the ugly stuff in our heart. And again, it's his kindness. Like, don't we want to deal with it there with the Lord and maybe with nobody else, you know? I'm not saying don't confess your sins, but yeah, that's his kind. He doesn't want us to keep going there. He knows what it's gonna lead to. So let's deal with this. And that's hard. It's vulnerable. But, you know, that's my encouragement to us, to the church, to myself over and over again, is don't be scared of that place. Don't, you know, repentance is hard, but don't be scared of his kindness meeting us in his presence to deal with our heart so that we can, you know, begin the journey of repentance.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing I'd add to that, because I totally agree, is I think sometimes, and I'm speaking from my own experience, sometimes pride is what keeps us from the presence of God in worship. It's our own, we're bringing in our own stuff, like our own experiences. We could be walking through something really hard, and God should have already dealt with this thing, this XYZ thing, and so why would I worship him? Or I have to maintain an image. And so I can't let other people see any broken part of me because that would be vulnerable. Or I don't want to say that God's in control, because if I say that, then that means that I am not in control. And if I am not in control, then I really am in a helpless state and I must need a father that could come and save me. I mean, it really is kind of a spiral type of thing. And in all of that, and I hope you heard it from Aaron too, Jesus has done it all. He's done it all. And so worship is so important because it's like you're verbalizing and saying things out loud. I'm just such a believer in that, and saying the words out loud. But there's something powerful that happens when we remind ourselves, because Jesus doesn't need reminding, but you have done it all. You've covered me with your blood. You are the king upon the throne. You hold my world in your hands, and you are treating it preciously. Like, you created me specifically. You see my needs and my hurts and the things in my heart that are breaking. Like, he sees all of that. And so the worship piece is just the response. It's a communication. I mean, it really is just so beautiful. And so as we kind of wrap this up, there's honestly, I mean, gosh, all of us could use some prayer in growing in worship. But we have a couple of things we want to pray for. So if we could get the ministry team to come on down, if everybody could stand up, we're gonna stand up too. Stand up, ministry team and the band, come on down, wherever you guys are. And we've got some different places where honestly we could talk about a bunch of different things, because this could have been a series. But there are some places where we feel like God really can meet us in some worship and some time of prayer and ministry. So yeah. The first one is just, if you need a breakthrough in worship, like it feels dry, it doesn't feel genuine to you anymore, you feel like you have to muster it up, even on a Sunday morning, Like, come and get prayer. Jesus does not want there to be a wall between you and him. And by the way, there's no wall on Jesus' side.
Yep.
Okay? There's no wall on Jesus' side. But sometimes in our own brokenness, we kind of put and throw something feeble up to the Lord, right? So if you need a breakthrough, just like, I need God to meet me right now. That would be the first piece. The second piece is a couple of months ago, I had someone come and ask me to pray for them when it came to worship. And she said, I just want to want it. I want to have a childlike faith when it comes to worship. And if you've seen little kids dancing and worshiping at like any type of youth camp or kids retreat or anything, there is just something so joyous and freeing about watching a little one come into the presence of God. And so if it doesn't feel like you felt that way at all for a long time, or maybe you felt that way when you first came to know the Lord, but it just seems really distant from you now, like, come and get prayer. He wants to meet you there. That's what he does. He's a good father. He loves his children, and he wants his children to feel free. And then the third piece is if you are going through something really hard right now, or it's just not looking the way you thought it was going to look, or maybe there's some disappointment or some discouragement in your life, come and get prayer. This is the place where we say, God, we really, really need you. Like, we cannot do it without you. And even though this place or this situation is really hard, I'm choosing to believe that you're victorious over it. And we can worship through those things. And also, if you just love to worship and you want to get some prayer for being a worshiper, like, come on down. Because we love that too.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Again, that was the first thing and the last thing I wanted to say today is you guys are worshipers. And every single one of you, and you know, if there's a hindrance because I feel like I can't sing well or I'm not musical, I want to call you out of that this morning as a radical worshiper. You know, I'm looking at my dad. He can build anything in the world, but my sweet dad can't sing. And he is the most radical worshiping man he runs to worship and it's who he is. And so if there's any of that, like, oh, I just don't feel like I'm calling you out of that. And if you want prayer, come up and get prayer for that too.
Yeah, I'm gonna pray. God, we love you. And God, we want our hearts to be turned towards you in worship. We don't want to have to muster it up. God, we want it to be an overflow of where we're at with you. And so God, if that's not where we're at, Lord, we repent. And we say that you're good. And you have your arms open for us to come running into them. Lord, would you restore and refresh and renew the joy that it is to be your child? And God, would you meet us in our low and broken places? And Lord, may we not turn away, but may we run to you. In Jesus' name, amen.